44. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
There's a hard moon rising on the streets tonight. There's a reckless feeling in your heart.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our conversation discussion with Pastor Chatfield, the 13 original colonies and their religions. And I think you were basically heading into the South region.
Right. The South was dominated by Anglicanism, Anglican Church of England. It's ironic. Now, today, the Bible Belt is the South, and it's Baptist. Baptists in the South are like Roman Catholics in the North. I traveled into the South this summer promoting Full America. Let's pass out gospel tracts. Baptist churches on every corner, it seems like. But not originally. Virginia, 1607, Jamestown, founded by Anglicanism. Captain John Smith credited as being the leader. By the way, both here at Jamestown, and then in 1620 at Plymouth, up in Massachusetts, they both tried the common store. They thought, let's all work, put all our stuff into one common storehouse. They called it a common store, and then we'll all eat out of it. We'll work together. Did not work. 90% of the people at Jamestown died. They starved to death. They had a period of time which they called a starving time. They were packing up, getting ready to go back to England when reinforcements, other people, supplies came in, and the Jamestown survived. The common store does not work, never has worked. Communism, this was a very primitive form of communism. They thought, well, look, we're Christians, we'll take care of each other, we'll work equally hard for all of us. Doesn't work. Does not work. Man, the Bible says, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. People work hardest when they work for themselves. It's just the way it is. And socialism, communism does not work. Goes against human nature. The only reason that communist countries survive is the gun. Somebody puts a gun to your head and says, now work, then you work. Just so they don't shoot you.
Right.
But the much better way is to have freedom. And you work, and you can enjoy the fruit of your own labor. Eventually, obviously, we became a free market society. Individual working for themselves. Okay, Maryland, 1634. Now, this was founded by who we call Lord Baltimore, Cecil Calvert. And he was Catholic. And this became a haven for Catholics. Although the Roman Catholics founded it, they still had a measure of toleration. Originally in Maryland, or eventually, you had to subscribe to the Trinity. You had to believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Anybody that would confess that could come to Maryland. Now, so they didn't have an established church, but you had to confess that you were you believe in the Trinity. By the way, most all of these colonies had some sort of religious test. By the way, a religious test is forbidden in the United States Constitution, Article 6. However, a religious test for the federal government, it didn't prohibit a religious text among states, because a number of states still had religious tests, like Massachusetts, up until 1830. You understand the difference there. There's no religious test to be for anybody running for office in the national government. That's in our Constitution. But that did not apply to the states. It's only in recent times that we took the 14th Amendment and forced that upon all the states. By the way, as a Baptist, I would be against a religious test, even in Michigan, even among the states, even in Sheboygan or Emmett County. I'd be against it. I don't want religious tests. But that's not originally. Most of the people that founded our colonies didn't understand this notion of two distinct institutions. separate, church and state. They did not understand it. I'm going to come back to Rhode Island and explain it in a minute. Okay, North and South Carolina were originally founded as one colony. They split up. They were originally founded in 1653, and they both split up. And they, too, were dominated by Anglicans. Georgia, we give credit to James Oglethorpe as the founder of Georgia. Numerous denominations, and it was originally founded as a haven for debtors. People back in England, when you couldn't pay your bills, you're put in prison. So they said, anybody want to go to Georgia to get out of prison? And it became a haven for people that were in debt. And it became a buffer zone between Carolina and Florida, which was dominated by the Indians, the Seminole Indians. And because the Indians kept attacking, and whatever, white man Indians were fighting, and we wanted this Georgia, a debtor's haven, to be a buffer between those two. And that's the original notion of Georgia. And of course, we didn't buy Florida from Spain until 1819. They were not one of the original 13 colonies. Okay, so those are the religious backgrounds of the original 13 colonies. I'm going to go back to Massachusetts Bay Colony. Most of the colonies had state churches originally, not all of them, but most of them did. Virginia did, Church of England. Massachusetts, the Congregational Church. Right, Connecticut, New Hampshire, most of them did. There was a Puritan leader whose name was Roger Williams, who said, you know what, as he read the Bible, he was himself was a Puritan, and he said, I don't believe this is what the Bible teaches, and it doesn't work. And basically, John Winthrop and Massachusetts Bay Colony said, look, Reverend Williams, you're going to have to either go along with us or we're going to kick you out. And so he was kind of forced to leave, or volunteered to leave Massachusetts Bay, and he wandered in the wilderness, became friends with Indians, and founded Providence, Rhode Island, which, based on the idea that the state and the church are not the same thing. Now, we all, listen, everybody listening to me now, this is an assumed belief among all the denominations. Nobody wants to pass a law forcing everybody to go to the Presbyterian or Roman Catholic or Methodist Church. Nobody wants to pass a law like that. But originally, there were a lot of laws that were kind of like that. Roger Williams didn't believe in it. He had this teaching. It was because he believed in the two tables. And this is important. Now, by the way, let me just take a parenthetical. You've heard me say on this program many times, all law is legislative morality, but all morality cannot be legislated. I mean, here's what liberals say. You can't legislate morality, which is not true. All law is based on some moral premise. All laws have some moral idea behind it, or there wouldn't be a law. We think it's wrong to murder. Why? We think it should be against the law to murder, because you're taking somebody's life who was created in the image of God. That's wrong. You don't have the freedom to murder somebody. So we have laws against murder. We have laws against theft. Now, here's what Roger Williams said, and I think it's pretty good. And by the way, there's always been a tension here, whether between Roger Williams and John Winthrop, between the Baptist and the Congregationalist, and the Baptist and those who believed in separation of church and state, and those who didn't. If all laws are legislative morality, well, then how do you determine what? But all morality cannot be legislated. How can you determine what laws should be legislated? How far should we go? That's always been a question, even among people that believe the Bible. And we believe some things are, should we have speed limits on roads? Of course we should. Okay, it's dangerous. Well, who gets to determine how fast you go? I have a man in my church who's always saying, why did they pass that law that you can go 75? That's way too fast. I wanted to tell him, hey, that was passed during when my son was Speaker of the House. It's just like, yes. We think it's I think it's a good law. I think it's 75 up here in northern Michigan. 75, I think it's good. But that's a debate. Okay, there's a debate. Roger Williams took the Ten Commandments and said there are two tables. The first four tables of the Ten Commandments he taught, and they are, there shall have no other gods before me, that's one. Number two, don't make idols, that's two. Three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And four, remember the Sabbath day. He called that the first table of stone. Those are commandments that regulate my, Rusty Chatfield's, my relationship with God himself. There should be no laws. You should not have a law like that. In other words, there shouldn't be a law saying you have to go to church. There shouldn't be a law that you have to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be a law that you have to honor the name of Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be a law that you have to honor the Sabbath. Now, by the way, and there's a lot of nuance in this. As you know, back 100 years ago, the country was filled with blue laws, which is still a remnant of a blue law, were laws that prohibited certain activities on Sundays. It was against the law. It wasn't just the preacher said, hey, you shouldn't have all these activities on Sunday. It wasn't that. It was, he said that, and then he went, and then the legislator listened, and they closed businesses on Sunday. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference between these things. There's a difference between me as a preacher saying, hey, you guys, don't smoke cigarettes. It's bad for you. And closing down cigarette companies. There's two different things. Now, I tell people, if you're a Christian, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, and smoking is bad for you. Yes. But am I out there advocating to close tobacco companies? No. And that's the strain. He said, Roger Williams said, the last six of the commandments regulate my relationship with man. Like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Those are rightly inserted in civil law. For an ordered, civilized society, we've got to have laws, and we take them from the last six commandments. The first four we don't, the last six we do. Now, so that's Roger Williams' view of this. I'll finish up on the other side.
Sounds good. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield forthcoming. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment of today's discussion. Pastor Chatfield, we'll let you wrap it up right here.
The big issue has been, I'm talking about Roger Williams' view of government. Baptist. When I say Baptist, a lot of you are saying, well, I'm not a Baptist. I get that. Most of our listeners are not Baptist. But your thinking on this is the Baptist way. We don't now think, I've never thought, that we should force people to come to church, force people to pay taxes to support our church. We don't believe in that. We believe, and it was the First Amendment of the United States was a Baptist amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. We don't want a state church, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But we do want our freedom to propagate the gospel. But we don't want it forced. It's really about force. We call upon people to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Then we go out and invite people to church, and we encourage and help. But we don't want law forcing it. That's now the first four commandments of the ten, according to Roger Williams. That is between a man and God. The last six, that's between man and man, and we do have some regulations. But even then, there's questions. Do we want the 18th Amendment of the United States Constitution, prohibition, forbidding the sale, transportation of intoxicating liquors? Was that a good idea? I mean, it was repealed in 1933, just like 15 years later, by the 21st Amendment. But maybe not a good idea. Oh, you're for drinking. No, I didn't say I was for drinking. I'm saying it's a good idea to make it illegal. And these type of issues are always springing up. On the other hand, do we think we should have laws against drunk driving? Well, yes. Why? Well, because you're so dangerous when you drive drunk. It's dangerous for people. People get killed. So we make laws against drunk driving, but we don't make laws against drinking. And so there's always a rub. There's always some tension here between these ideas. And we have... In America, long ago, we've settled upon, we don't want a state church, but we do want morals. We want morals. And discerning, and this is my statement, I'll quit. All laws legislate morality, but all morality cannot be legislated. Exactly which morality should be legislated and which shouldn't, and whose morality is the big question. That is the big theological and political question. Okay. And that was figured out even when our nation was first born. I'm done. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, it's interesting because, like you say, the founding of the country, the colonies, and every single one of them had basically a religious motivation or desire to be able to come to the New World and to do and get a fresh start. And it's interesting that hearing all these different denominations and factions that were present even back then, which have only gotten bigger and more involved since then. But it was interesting. Good conversation. And one thing I think that people need to understand is the process. And it's evolving, just like our laws are evolving. Look at what's happened since, you know, Rick Snyder and Brian Kelly in the Republican House, Republican senators for 8 years. Then we had a taste of it with the Democrats, thank God for only two. But it's constantly changing, evolving, and it has to do, I believe, in part of what their religious beliefs are and what their agenda is.
Let me make one more
statement. And it ends up being legislation.
Mankind, even Christians, the founding of all these colonies, economic reasons were still there. People want a better life, make some money, own your own land. Here, they have no aristocracy, hard work. That had a mix in it. Just let me make this comment, too. I'm not crazy about the phrase Christian nationalist. It depends on how you define that, of course. But no, we're not. It depends on how you define it. But we're not trying to impose Christianity on people. But we want freedom to spread Christianity, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If
and we
people
want
choose
laws.
It, if yep. they choose it, so be it. Absolutely.
Right. Yep. Yes.
Well, one thing we're excited about as a public service every Sunday, because, of course, you hear the commercials from the church that air during the week and on the music. But every Sunday as a public service, we bring church services from Northern Michigan Baptist Bible Church in Burt Lake, of course, with Pastor Chatfield. It's live 11 to noon. And greatly appreciate Annette Thompson putting us in connection with the studio every Sunday. Appreciate that. And also, you guys being able to leave the conversation when I have to do the wrap-up at the end of the hour.
Yes.
I greatly appreciate you hanging up on me so we can get back to the studio and the music. So,
amen. Hey, Monday, Labor Day, we're planning on passing out 10,000 bottles of water with gospel tracks, rubber band around everyone. We got it all ready to go. Anybody's walking the bridge, you're welcome to help us. All you got to do is stand there. We're three bottles of water, 10,000 we've got ready to go.
Where are you going to be at, on the St. Ignace side or Mackinac side?
Both sides. Mostly both on the sides. Southern side, but we're going to both sides where the big hot dog is at that corner.
Yep.
We're going to have
hot dog.
Yes, and we're going to be there free. Free. If you can help us, stop in and help us or not, or just pray for us. It's a big, big undertaking.
Absolutely. So if you're there and you want to help them out, hey, I heard Pastor Chatfield on the radio. Glad to meet you. Give me some water. I'll help you guys out.
Yes, I'd love that. I'd love to
all
meet
right.
you, too.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much, and good luck on Labor Day. God bless, and have
Amen.
Safe travels.
Amen. Thanks, Randy.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days.